Well, good morning, everybody.
I
have a young lady here that I did not speak to beforehand because if I spoke to her, she would sit and stress the whole time until I called her. So I've really put her on the spot because I just invited her to come forward. I'm actually quite proud of her because she came. Now, the reason I asked her to come forward is she shared something interesting with me just now before church started, and it blessed me. And I know it blessed God, and I believe it's going to bless all of you. How many of you know that the Word of God says that we must let our light shine in this very dark world? And if maybe you haven't figured it out yet, we are living in probably the darkest age ever. You know, they sometimes tongue-in-the-cheek refer to a certain time way back when as the Dark Ages. Then this must be the Black Ages, because it's worse now than it's ever been. Now, God expects us to be a light. And we must be a light for God. And you know, one area where I believe we do have a bit of a problem is to be that light. You see, the thing is, when you are a light, you attract attention to yourself. And a lot of people have a problem with that because they do not want to attract attention to themselves. Now, the idea here is not to attract attention to you, the person. The idea is to attract attention to God in you and to be a light for the kingdom of God. Now, this is Elna, and you are 17 years of age. She's 17 years of age, and she is in high school at the moment. Now, you know, you remember way back when you were in high school. For some of you, that's like so deep back in the memory banks, it's going to take you a while to go there. So a moment's silence while you go there. Okay, most of you are there now. Now, you remember there was this thing called speech. Whether you were in the Afrikaans class or the English class, now you had to stand there in front of everybody and you had to give a speech. And I can remember for me back in the day, that was like the worst day of school. You know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to whisper this, but I used to bunk that many times. I suddenly had a funny spell come on. I can't be there. I didn't like it because it wasn't nice. Now, she had to make a speech. And it sounds to me like you could sort of choose a topic to make a speech of. So now I'm going to just let you tell them what your speech was and what you spoke about. And then I'll say something about that. Now, I want you to speak into my microphone. Otherwise, we're not going to get that to record very well. Yeah, you go.
Okay. We had different topics of speeches, and they were really stupid topics. So the thing is, you have to get like information on the internet, and you have to get like things people say about the topics. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I think the children in my class need to hear what happened at my house, because God was so powerful in my house, and everything, my whole family changed because of it, and I was like so amazed. And I thought, I had just a feeling about just telling the people about it, and I told them everything that happened in my house about the demons that were, what's the word?
Manifesting and cast out.
You're bad.
Let me just ask a question. Do you still have any friends? Well, God is good, amen?
Yes, and then I started talking, and the teacher, I was like, I printed weird pictures about sort of demon things, and they were really freaky, and I was like putting it on the board, and the teacher was like, this is something really strange, and she thought it was like a psychic type of thing about two pictures in one, and I was like, no, it's not. And she put like the fan off because it was really loud, and she closed the door, and she was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And then I started to talk about everything, and everybody was like silent. I was like, there was just eyes on me. I was like really freaking out because I was like red and everything.
A bit like now.
And then I started talking, and some of the children were like really, that I was like this, and I was like, yeah, that's happened. And I started talking and everything. And after I talked, everybody was like still. It was like, you can hear a pin drop. It was cool.
Amen. Well, the reason I asked her to come forward, you know what? There's not a lot of people that have the courage to stand in front of their peers. And to come straight out and say, this is what happened in our family and this is what God did for us. And I bless you because you give me hope for the future. Amen. God bless you. Today's message, God has put very heavy on my heart. It's the kind of message that's going to ruffle a couple of feathers. It's the kind of message that some people might not want to hear. I want to tell you something. It's not about what you want to hear. It's what you have to hear that's important. I want to start off by saying that I grew up in a very different era. And I'm happy to say that I grew up in a different era. I'm blessed that God allowed me to come to the earth the time that I came. Because it is my considered opinion that in a lot of ways, the world was a much better place back then. You know, in my era, nobody called their parents by their first name. In my era, when you wanted to speak to your parents, you used to say mom. You used to say dad. Today, I am shocked at the amount of children that like to speak to adults by calling them by their name. And sometimes I'm blown away by the adults that actually tolerate that kind of behavior because it is just wrong. In my era, when you arrived at a gathering, you would go and greet every single person personally. You know, my mom is sitting here. I'm not picking on you, Ma. I'm just telling. I remember we used to have these family gatherings. Another day we were laughing about it. Me, I used to have germalitis. I was a germaphobe back in the day. And I didn't like it when I had to kiss somebody on the mouth, but my mother would make me go, kiss that auntie, kiss that auntie, kiss that. And I was like, you know? And then after the kiss, it's like, you know? But you know, back then, that was the norm. It's called manners. And I want to say something to you. I don't know. Somebody made like a hocus pocus and it looks like it's disappeared. But it was important in the day that you go and you greet the person. And I had this one uncle. I'll never forget. He passed away now. But you better not give him like a little pop hanky, you know, like you mustn't be like, he would be like, what's this? Greet me like a man, boy. That's better. In my era, you did not speak back to your parents. Or if you did, it's probably because you needed a visit to the doctor or the dentist. Because you would lose something. We were taught to give up our seats to the weak and the elderly. Do you know how many times I'm in a place where you see old people standing and some young, I don't even know what to call it, whippersnapper, sitting there playing on their phone. Not interested in the person that's clearly taking strain standing right next to them. And I wonder how God has to feel about this when he looks down and he sees the way his creation is turning upside down. When I was young, we were taught, you always say please, and you always say thank you. And it was not negotiable. It was the norm. And if you were in a place where somebody did not say please or thank you, everybody was like, oh. Today, when somebody says please and thank you, it's like, oh. Because it's becoming more and more scarce. You see, today people have an expectation, you must do it for me. Back in the day, we were thankful that you did it for me. Today it's like, why didn't you do it earlier? Sometimes the attitudes blow your mind. Back in my day, we were taught that you wait for your turn. Your mom or your dad would not be besides giving you a clap and telling you, hey, wait, it's not your turn. Today you go somewhere, there's chaos. It looks like survival of the fittest has entered the banks. It has entered the government buildings because the biggest oak just pushes through everybody and it's like, so what? And if you happen to mention that you were there first, looks can kill. Or you're a racist because you mentioned something. And it doesn't matter what your color is, you will be a racist. Back in my day, the world was a much better place. Back in my day, and I'm still around, I'm talking when I was young, when I was growing up. Because there were standards. There were values. There was discipline. We were taught to say, excuse me, when you walked into somebody. Today you go to a shopping center and people try and walk all over you. It's almost like in the old days with the Second World War. You know when they used to shoot a German down, they would put a swastika on the plane. It's like you see this oak walking and he's got these tattoos. That's how many people I've crushed in the shopping center. And then if you look at them, it's like, what you looking at? You know? It's not, excuse me, I'm sorry. There's an attitude, a bad, horrible attitude. We were taught to have proper table manners. How many of you know? Okay, I'm looking at my parents like you would sit at the table and now and then you would chew with your mouth open. Excuse me, are you a horse? Why are you chewing like that? Close your mouth. We were taught not to talk when we were not spoken to. How many times would we be in a where there was a grown-up conversation? I remember vividly many times my mom or my dad, what are you doing here? You counting our teeth? We sit down, will you tell? Come. This is for grown-ups. This is not for children. Today, it's a bit different. The children take over the conversation. The grown-ups have to stand in the background. You know, I've watched a couple of the shows that children today watch on television. Do yourself a favor. The next time your precious child or grandchild is sitting there watching Disney television or whatever, just sit there and watch what they are seeing. And look how grown-ups are portrayed. Grown-ups are portrayed as stupid and ignorant and useless. And children are constantly rolling their eyes and telling their parents how stupid they are and that they know nothing and running the household. And I want to tell you something, it's rubbing off. Because more and more and more, that's exactly what's happening in society. We're coming to a place where people do not know their place anymore. You see, I want you to understand something, and this is kind of like what I'm talking about today. You might not know your place, or your children or your grandchildren might not know their place, but God still knows their place. And they start stepping on God's toes when they start acting this way. And I might have to remind you about this, but there's always consequences when things don't go right. And a lot of people are suffering because of these exact consequences. We were taught in my time to be on time. Today, that's a big problem. It looks like everybody's watch is running at a different clock. It's important to be on time. The world cannot run if there is no discipline. We were taught in my time that you do not swear. If you wanted a fat lip, you would say certain words and you would get it. It's not good. It's not right. Do not teach your children that way. Teach them the right way. Because I want to remind you, God is watching. And you are raising your children on His behalf. We were taught in my time that you do not gossip. Ma, do you remember? Wat vertel jy my nou, wil jy 'n tikkie hê? Okay, some of you will know exactly what that is. It's like I would run to my mom and like, oh, ma, my brother did. I was expecting you to hit him. What do you want? You want 5 cents for that information? Because it's gossip. Because it's wrong. But today, that seems to be what drives people. Everybody, they can't wait to get people in trouble. It's like they can't wait to run their little legs off to create problems for everybody. And you know what? I don't blame just the person running to create the problem. I blame the one entertaining it as well. Because you should stop it and say, hey, I'm not interested. I want you to understand something. Just rub your ear. Rub your ear. That's an ear, not a dustbin. Some people treat this like a dustbin. You allow people to come and vomit their filth about themselves and other people in your ear, and then you wonder why you got rubbish coming out of you. That's not why God gave you ears. And let the people sort out their own problems. You don't have to sort out everybody's problems for them. It's their problem. They must deal with it. You may not agree with me on this, but I want to say to you, the world was a much better place when people still had manners and people still had respect. And I want to tell you, the closer we get to the end of the age, the more and more these two things are disappearing very quickly. Manners and respect. And I want to tell you something, it hurts God's heart. It angers him when he sees that his creation is being turned upside down by the enemy. You know, a lot of young people can't wait to get out of their parents' house because they don't want to live according to a set of standards and a set of rules. I want to tell you something. I've got news for you. There will always be standards and rules. They come from God, not your parents. And you need them. You know, you've heard me say this before. God put boundaries in his word. And you know, especially when we're younger, but it's not just young people, even older people, even geriatric people, if I can put it to you that way, have a big problem with God's boundaries. But I need you to think of it differently. God's boundaries are not just there to keep you in, it's there to keep the devil out. And the more you break down those boundaries, the more the devil will get in to your sanctuary. Do you know why so many people have no peace in their house? Because the boundary walls are gone. It's not because God didn't give you boundary walls. You don't respect them. And because you don't respect them, when you need them to protect you, they're gone. And that's when people cry and they say to God, oh, why aren't you there for me? Why don't you care for me? I actually do. I gave you some good boundaries. You don't follow them. You don't honor them. You don't accept them. I can't help you. So this brings me to what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the ever-growing epidemic of disrespect in the world today, and yes, even in the church. You want to know why the devil today has more power than he's ever had? You look at people's attitudes and you're going to see it. But look at it from God's perspective. Because when you look at it from your own or another person's perspective, it's easy to say, oh, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. Oh, that's not a big deal. A small problem for you is big for God. It has to do with perspective. Whose perspective are you looking through? I recently had an experience which involved disrespect. And you know what? The Spirit of God began to speak to me about these things. You know, one thing I must tell you about God, God has always used my life to speak to me about things. And when God starts speaking to me, he has a lot to say. And he began to speak to me about this problem. And I have come to the conclusion that this is one of the main contributing factors why so many people's lives seem to end up going nowhere. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want us to take a look and to see what God's word has to say about this, and then I let you decide for yourself. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 to 58. It's a passage of scripture about Jesus. Coming to his hometown, he began to teach the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers from? They asked. Now I want to ask you a question. When you ask that question, does it mean that you have seen the miraculous powers? Does it mean that you've seen the signs and the wonders? Of course, that's why you're asking the question. They were not ill-informed. They saw with their own two eyes. Now, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers from? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now, this is a very, very important scripture. And it's important to all of us, even though it happened all those years ago. It shows us how God feels about certain things. You know, the Bible is written for man to understand the heart of God and the way God will respond to certain things. Because don't forget, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he didn't like it 2,000 years ago, he still doesn't like it. If he expected it 2,000 years ago, he still expects it today. I want to ask you a question. How many of you here today are in need of God's miraculous power in your life? Whether you need healing, or you need a breakthrough, or you need finances, or your mind is all over the place and God needs to touch you, you need a miracle. Wave at me. Pretty much everyone. Now, here we are shown that there are certain attitudes in people's lives that will seriously block God's willingness to grant such miracles. Most of us will read the scripture and immediately come to the conclusion, it's like, oh, it's because of their lack of faith and it's because of their unbelief that God did not perform miracles. Now that is true, but only to a certain point. Because I want you to notice that these very people that Jesus is talking about have already with their own mouths acknowledged the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that he did. The problem here is not just unbelief. They believe. They are saying, where did he get the power to do the miracles? Thereby acknowledging that he did do miracles. Do you see that? These people did acknowledge Jesus' ability to perform miracles. However, they were offended by him. God's major problem here is not so much the unbelief as the attitude. It was the attitude that caused God to remove his hand. These people disrespected Jesus, even though they admitted, even though they saw, even though they professed his ability to do signs and wonders and miracles. They refused to honor him. And I want to tell you something, it's always worse for a person like that. It's better for you not to know and make a mistake than to know clearly, but carry on regardless. Now I want you to notice, It was because of this attitude, an attitude of utter disrespect, that God would not allow the Spirit of God to move upon their lives. And this is where everybody should sit up and think, man, I better check my attitude. Because I want to tell you something, the world, the church is full of people crying out to God for change, crying out to God for breakthrough, crying out to God for miracles, crying out to God for provision, and the hand of God is nowhere to be seen. Because what God did in this scripture, God still does today. Jesus, the Son of God, the most anointed man to ever walk the earth, the holiest man to ever walk the earth, was not allowed by God to perform miracles because of people's attitudes. What makes you think today, if the attitude of people suck, God is going to just say, oh, shame. But I love them and they need it. Let me just give it to them. I want to tell you, you know what? A lot of people are asking today, where is God? They're asking, where is the power of God? Does God still heal? Does God still set people free? Does God still do miracles? You will never know till you don't change your heart and your attitude. Because it is a wrong attitude that keeps the power of God from moving in the church. I want to tell you something. God's heart is a father's heart. He wants the best for his children. But God will not tolerate the attitude of many of his children. Because it hurts him. It upsets him. And these things are in the Bible to teach us. God has no time for a disrespectful attitude. And I want to tell you something. Nothing quenches the fire of the Spirit of God as quickly as a disrespectful attitude. What good is it we spend an hour pushing through in worship to invite the Holy Spirit to come in, but an attitude of disrespect in the church, in the body of Christ, is pushing him out? Then we waste our time, because nothing is going to happen. So this made me wonder, how many people go for prayer every Sunday, but they experience exactly the same result over and over again. Nothing, 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 nothing. And you know, in a situation like that, it's so easy to blame God. It's like, oh, God doesn't care about me. Oh, God is not interested in me. Oh, God's got favorites. No. God checks your attitude. And if your attitude is not where God wants it to be, the door for miracles, the door for change, the door for his power stays closed. He will not open it. There are people that experience the power of God. It's people whose hearts are right. It's people whose attitudes are right. I'm going to show you one now. How many pastors do not see God's power in their churches? Not so much because of wrong preaching, not so much because of wrong doctrine, not because they don't try, but because in their midst is a really bad attitude called disrespect. I want to remind you, Jesus could not perform miracles where people's attitudes were not in line with where God wanted them to be. What makes this church or any other church any different? It's still the same. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 1 to 6, we read the following. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. For he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord only spoken through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he spoken also through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man. I want you to stop right there. Do you check Moses' attitude? Was he full of himself? Was he conceited? Was he vain? Was he arrogant? Was he puffed up? Was he full of pride? I want to say to you, he was a man of respect. And the power of God worked through him. Now let's continue. And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Have you ever wondered why God used Moses? Have you ever wondered why God chose Moses? Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about attitude. I want to tell you something. There's men and women that walk the earth that can quote you the scriptures verbatim. They can roll scriptures like that. God will never use them because their hearts are not right, because their attitudes are not good. Then you get people that hardly know the scriptures at all, but they love God and they got a good attitude in God's eyes, and the power of God explosively moves through them. Sometimes we've got our priorities wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't know the word of God. Don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to say that's not all it's about. It's got to do with the heart. When God chose David, what did he say? He said, you choose that one and that one and that one because they look good. And you think that they've got all the qualities. Me, I chose David, who nobody likes, because I see his heart and I see his attitude. I can do more with him than all these others together. God looks at things very differently to the way we do. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. This reminds me of the days when I was still living in my parents' house and my mom and my dad said, I want to see you all in the room now. You just knew. There's a problem. You weren't always sure exactly what the problem was, and you were already formulating, I wasn't there, it wasn't me, I didn't do it. At once the Lord said to Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. And then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. It's clear to see who's in trouble here. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is amongst you, I reveal myself to him through visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak to him face to face. In a way, God was saying, you like to, God speaks to me in dreams. You, God speaks to me in miracles, in visions. God says, let me just educate you. You weigh down on the pecking order because to Moses I speak to him face to face. Get off your high horse. Stop thinking something that you are not. Because, you know, as one of those people, let me just scratch my head. They thought way too much of themselves. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Now why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? If that was me, there would just be a little dung heap. When God speaks to you this way, you know you're in trouble. Why were you not afraid to take on my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. God didn't expect an answer. God was putting them on the hot plate, and he wanted them to sweat it out. He pretty much said, I heard what you said. And I want to say something to everybody that is here. God hears what you say. You see, the thing is, Aaron and Miriam were chitty-chittying amongst each other. Oh, nobody knows. We complain about Moses, we complain about this, we complain about that. Nobody knows. We're not telling the people, it's just us. But God heard. And God took offense. And when God takes offense, you got problems. The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. When the cloud lifted from the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. In other words, it didn't even take a blink of an eye. Suddenly, her whole body was covered in leprosy. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had leprosy. That's when he needed clean underwear. Because he was thinking, "Ooh, am I okay?" And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with all its flesh half eaten away." Now you know what she looked like. Her flesh was beginning to fall off. Hey, I wonder what she would have to say if you could interview her at that moment. That would be a very interesting conversation. I wonder if she was sorry about the things that she said, and I wonder if she was sorry about her attitude. I want to promise you she was. But sometimes sorry comes too late. So Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." Now listen to this. This is quite amazing. The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her to the outside of the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." God said, "Listen, Yapel, even if you, I don't care what you do, she needs a hiding, she's going to get it. For 7 days, she will know that she transgressed and she will never, ever do it again." Amen. Now, in our first example, Jesus was disrespected. Now we're looking at a event that happened in the life of Moses. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, anointed by God, called by God, commissioned by God, ordained by God, Moses, the Old Testament version of Jesus. In both cases, they are being disrespected by men. In both cases, we see that God is not happy. In both cases, we see that problems are about to follow. So Moses was a man called by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit for leadership and to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And like with Jesus, nobody could doubt who he was and what God called him to do, because these very Israelites saw the 10 plagues that came to pass through Moses. They saw the signs and the wonders and the miracles when his staff began to bloom, when he turned water into blood, when his staff became a serpent. They saw all of that. They moved through the sea on dry ground. The water came out of the rock. You want to tell me that any of them had any doubt as to who Moses was? No, they didn't. But you see, when it suited them, they chose to forget all about that. Like with Jesus, Aaron and Miriam began to grumble about Moses. Now, in the grumbling, you find elements of gossip. They were being judgmental, they were jealous, they were critical, they were envious. Perhaps there was even a lot of bitterness in them because God used Moses more than them. Because listen to what they say, "Oh, doesn't God also speak through us?" They had a very bad attitude. And on top of all of that, I want to teach you something about God. God is very, very, very into respect. If God puts somebody here, you better respect that person. I don't care whether you like them or not, you respect them. And you watch your attitude, because your attitude can get you into a lot of hot water like that. And I want to say something to you. God does not tolerate insubordinance. It doesn't go down well. So Aaron and Miriam began to grumble against Moses, and everything together, I just want to put under the banner of disrespect. Now, something remarkable happened. God apparently was listening. And God didn't like what he was hearing. The same spirit that had anointed, listen to this, this is important. The same spirit that had anointed Aaron, the same spirit that had anointed Miriam to hear from God, to see visions, to dream dreams, the same spirit turned against them like that. And this is where this becomes scary. Because I want to tell you something, you do not play with the grace of God. You know, the Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. A lot of times we like all chuffed because we receive something, but then our attitudes go all wayward and then we can't understand why tomorrow we have nothing. The same spirit that had anointed them before to do God's work was now turning against them to teach them a lesson. Even when Moses interceded for her, God refused to back off. How scary is that? God says, sorry, Moses, I do respect you, but she needs to be taught a lesson. And nothing you say and nothing you do is going to stop that. She was taught a very, very valuable lesson that day. God will not tolerate a disrespectful attitude towards his called and towards his anointed. And I want to say something to you. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. A lot of people have no problem speaking bad about men and women of God. You don't know what you're bringing upon yourself. I've warned people before and I want to warn you again. When it comes to men and women of God, rather be quiet than put yourself in hot water, because God is listening. You know, the world is full of people that are very critical and very judgmental, and they never have nothing good to say about nobody. It can be Benny Hinn, it can be T.B. Joshua, it can be Reinhard Bonnke, it can be Billy Graham, it doesn't matter who it is. There's always, you go onto the internet, you type in Billy Graham, the first thing that you get is 100 reasons why you shouldn't listen to him, 20 reasons why he's the Antichrist himself. You know, there's always some schmuck out there that feels that it is their God-given call to discredit men and women of God. And I want to tell you something, to me, it's nothing but a trap from the devil to get you to step into that trap, to chiri-chiri with, so that tomorrow your life can fall apart and you're not 100% sure why. Be quiet. Rather say nothing. If you don't know nothing, say nothing. You can't get into hot water by doing nothing. The people that today are in hot water are the people that spoke. What did Moses, what did Aaron and Miriam do? They spoke against Moses. Now, this person that you're talking about, whoever it might be, and I'm not saying you're talking about people, but you know, people generally do like to talk. How do you know what their standing is with God? You're not really sure, are you? But what if, like Moses, God is jealously guarding their reputation? What if, like with Moses, God will not tolerate this kind of remarks or speech about them? Problems will follow. I already said to you, what God gives, God can also take away very quickly if we do not check our attitude. Now, during my experience with disrespect, I spoke to God and I cried before God. And I heard the Lord speak to me very clearly. And I felt God's anger towards this. God made one thing very clear to me, and it is confirmed by the very word of God. God alone can appoint messengers. Some people call them prophets. Some people call them priests or pastors or ministers or evangelists. Everybody's got some word for it. But I want to tell you something. Man does not appoint, God appoints. And just because the world at large does not see the need for respect today does not mean that God shares this attitude. He doesn't. In previous eras, men still had respect for spiritual leaders. I want to tell you, in my day when I grew up, when the Dominee came for a visit, the best china came out quick. If the house was a little bit untidy, it better be tidy by the time he gets to the front door. There was respect. You know, I want to tell you something that I've learned about Catholic people. Sometimes I think they miss the boat a little bit with the whole worshipping of saints, etc., etc. But when a Catholic priest walks into a place, everybody respects him instantly. In the charismatic movement, a pastor is often treated as nothing. Only God can call. Only God can establish. And God demands respect. In my day, when the pastor spoke, people were quiet and they listened. Today it's not always the way. In fact, today, people will somewhat straight up tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. They will somewhat straight up tell you, listen, yeah, it's not like that. Then the same person can't quote two scriptures, but he wants to preach the word of God to you when you're a man of God and you're called by God. And then they cannot understand why their life goes nowhere. That's why you got no respect. A friend of mine posted something on Facebook this very week. And when I read it, I understood that he's going through the same thing I am. And I want to read this to you. He said, pastors are beloved as long as they do what people want us to do. The moment we don't, our authority will be challenged. But remember, we are not politicians elected to do the will of the people. We are called to do the will and the work of God. Amen. That was very well said. And I agree. It's time for every one of us to begin to examine our hearts. I want to speak to all parents here. Do not expect your children to have respect either in church or in school, if you do not teach them respect at home. You know how many times you see a mother with a child that's going bonkers, and then because other people are getting a bit upset, she's like, oh, come, you have to. But you don't teach him that at home. Why would he do it at church if you don't teach him respect at home? Respect leads to good manners. Good manners leads to good society. Today we don't have any of that. That's why society is crumbling. But it starts with you and it starts with me and the way we are. God likes good manners. God hates bad manners. I don't know what your manners are like, but you do. Examine your heart. This is not just for you. I've got a lot of people looking on the internet that need to hear these things. And I'm not going to mince words today because God doesn't want me to mince words. These are things that are important to be said. People need to examine their hearts. Just because you're having a bad day doesn't give you the right to take it out on everybody around you and think it's okay. Deal with it. God doesn't look at it like that. God gets upset when you treat His children that way. And don't think for one second these things will not come back to bite you, because it will. You know, we think sometimes because I'm not in a good place and I'm not this and I'm not that, everybody must just know. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Treat people with kindness, treat people with respect, treat people with dignity, and God will allow the same to come back to you. But a lot of times people do not get treated that way, and they can't understand why. Look at how you treat other people. I want you to listen to this. This is very important. I want you to stop seeing all the things other people are doing that you believe is wrong, and ask God to speak to you about what you are doing that is wrong. Because that is the sickness that we have in society today. The average person can name all the people in the church that's doing something wrong. But when you ask them about themselves, they're actually fine. No, you're not. And the reason you can't see what you're doing wrong is because your focus is on everybody else instead of where God wants it, on your own life and in your own heart. Measuring your life against God's word. Sorry, start measuring your life against God's word. And probably you will begin to realize just how much you too still have to change. Because can I tell you where people make a mistake? I measure my life against Sandra's. Ooh, I'm not that bad. I look at Fatima. Ooh, I'm actually very good. I'm just joking. But the fact is, we're so quick to like, I'm better than that one, and I'm better than that one, and I'm better than that one. That must make me good. No. God's word will determine where you are, not other people. Take your focus off others. Look at yourself. And if you don't like what you see, then ask God to change you, and He will. But too many people are too worried about everybody else and not worried about themselves. There is no more place here for the spirit of disrespect. If you entertain that spirit, it will do two things. It will cause God's anointing in your life to disappear. And listen to me, my friend. I'm not cursing you. I'm teaching you. You need anointing to conquer the enemy. You need anointing to have a breakthrough. You need anointing to see signs and wonders and miracles. And you need the Spirit of God to have the anointing. And if your attitude is wrong, the Spirit of God is gone. Number one, it'll cause the Spirit of God and the anointing to be removed from your life. And secondly, it'll cause the Spirit of God to want to move out of this church. I will not stand for that. I want to tell you something. This church needs the anointing of God. If I'm preaching in my own strength, please go home. If I'm praying for you in my own strength, please go home. I wouldn't want you to waste your time because I will waste your time. And that's not why I'm here. I need God to work. I need God to operate. And for that, the atmosphere must be conducive for signs, wonders, and miracles. That means attitudes have to change. Because the attitudes, I want to tell you something. Sometimes in these meetings, the attitudes are really horrible. You know, we spoke about manners. I want to tell you something. When the pastor is preaching, you're quiet. There's no chiri. When we're praying for people, you're quiet. Do you know sometimes, how many times on a Sunday when I'm praying for people do I have to ask, please be quiet, because I can't even hear the people tell me what their problem is. And then 2 minutes later, it goes the same way. The Spirit of God doesn't like that. He moves. And many times I can feel the anointing is gone. And that's unfair. It's unfair towards the people that came to receive from God. It's unfair towards me because I'm expecting God to work through me. People clown around. People joke around. There's a time and a place for everything. This is not the time. This is not the place. You come in here, you respect God. And I want to tell you something with all due respect, and if you don't like me for it, there's nothing I can do about it. Do not come, yeah, half an hour late for church. Yes. You know, that is so disrespectful. Yes. We don't even start late. We don't even start early. We start late. You can still sleep late and still be on time. I'm sorry, but a spade is a spade and it has to be called now and then. And you know, a lot of people have a don't care attitude. You better not have a don't care attitude with God, because He will have a don't care attitude with you when you need Him. And it's time for you to realize things have to change. God wants respect. You know, a lot of times we look at ourselves as, oh, we liberated. We do things different. My friend, I want to tell you something. Yes, I wear a tracksuit and I wear a comfortable shirt. I'm not disrespecting God. When I'm finished here, I'm going to start praying for people and a lot of things are going to happen and we're going to probably end up on the floor and I'm just prepared for that. But I'm here in an attitude of respect. And I need to show God fear and reverence. And so do you. This year, I will not tolerate this attitude. I want to make it very clear. I had a family last year, and this hurts me to say, that came to me the second last Sunday of the year and said, Rion, we love you and we love what you do and we love your preaching, but we can see that the people do not respect you and we cannot be part of this any longer. It hurt me. It cut like a knife. And I want to tell you, it hurt God. Does God speak once, twice, three, four, five, 10 times, or does God speak once and he expects it to be done? God speaks once. Then why in the church must we beg people over and over and over again? It's not right. And that's why the Spirit of God is sometimes absent. Yes, I know today is a bit of a serious message, but it has to be a foundation for the rest of the year. This message is necessary. And if there's a lot of other churches where the same message needs to be preached. When you walk into this, you all know when you go to like an embassy, Manuelita, where you? She works for the Portuguese embassy. Am I right in saying that when I walk into the Portuguese embassy, I'm on Portuguese soil? It's like sovereign Portuguese soil. Okay. And when I walk there, I feel like a prego and I feel like a... Now, here's the thing. I better watch what I do there because there's different rules there than outside. Do you understand? There, Portugal is in charge, not South Africa. I want to tell you, yeah, it's the same. Yeah, God is in charge, not the world. Leave your worldliness at the door. Yes. I don't want it in here. God, I want to say to you, is in a way old-fashioned. Because he makes it clear to us that he believes and expects from us to have an attitude of respect. I want to ask you a question. Listen carefully to this question. Are you sitting here today and you are staring at a life where you are constantly faced with problems, you battle to find breakthroughs, and it seems to you like God is always far away? Don't answer me. It's a rhetorical question. But I want to remind you of a very important scripture. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. If you have allowed disrespect in your heart, what did you expect? It can be no different. God will not be there. Your breakthroughs will not come. Your miracles cannot be released until something with you changes. It's so easy to blame others for our situation that we are in. And that's what most people do. Man, I'm okay. So it must be my mom. It must be my dad. It must be my uncle. It must be my auntie. It's my children. It's my boss. It's the bank. And on a very bad day, it's the dog. But I want to tell you something. Then you don't know the Word of God very well. Because the Word of God says, examine yourself first. Then look further. So, if you tolerate a disrespectful attitude in your own life, I want you to understand, nobody is paying more than you for that attitude. Yes, you might hurt somebody here and there. You might offend people here and there. But the one that's suffering more than anybody else is you yourself. It's useless coming for prayer over and over and over again if you fail to deal with what's wrong inside. What's in here can stop God from moving. I'm not saying that's the case in your life. You need to examine your own heart. And I need to examine mine. And I have been, I want to promise you. This year there's going to be changes. This year this congregation will be known as a congregation that respects God. I want to promise you that. A disrespectful attitude is never acceptable to God. No matter how much you try and justify it. Because I want to tell you something. Everybody has their reasons why. Try telling that to God. He's not interested. He's going to point you to His Word and say, did you read that? Then why didn't you do that? Anyone can change if we acknowledge our problems and allow God to help us. It's time to bring back manners. It's time to bring back respect. And we will experience the power of God. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.
I want to tell you something about what He's doing.